Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
America, how are you? This is Black Earth America, and my name is Kenneth Jones. We Talk Production presents Black Earth America on Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Saturday, We Talk Productions presents Provocative Thought from 8 to 9 p.m. Also, We Talk Productions have a marketing partnership program for small business owners and entrepreneurs that will help to get their products exposed internationally and nationally. Now, tonight's topic, and we're going to discuss a whole wide range of topics, but in my research, the issue that I had to tackle with was there are a large percentage of Black Americans or African Americans that don't feel it's good to be Black in America in 2017 going in 2018. 12% of Black men feel Only 12% of Black men feel it's good to be a Black man in America. 12%. And 18% for Black women. Why is that? Why people don't feel it's good to be Black in America today? Now, I read another statistic. 58% of all Americans. 58%, that's over half. 58% of all Americans feel that racism is the key cause of some of the issues that we are going to discuss tonight. The murder rate. The economist said that the murder rate had increased by 10%, and half of the cities in America that have a large population of African Americans, the murder rate has increased. A big issue affecting us, people say, writers and commentators agree on, is police brutality, a.k.a. Colin Kaepernick. Need I say more? Public schools, and that don't even get much attention today as to compared to police brutality and the murder rate. And personally, I feel the education system is a key issue. Living wages. Now, living wages not only affect African Americans, I think the living wage affect most Americans, the bottom half, from middle all the way down. Child care. 75% of Black Americans feel that is a major issue. Housing. And finally, which I feel connect to the murder rate, is feeling safe in neighborhoods. So, I had three guests scheduled tonight for this roundtable discussion, and I think one of my guests had showed up. She's very dependable. I think it's Melanie. I don't think it is Melanie Collette, and she's a radio personality. Melanie, talk with Melanie financially, also, guess what? She's very unique. Not too unique no more today, being an African-American Republican. Ms. Collette, that's you?
It is I.
How are you? How are you? I enjoyed your show earlier today. This is like my third time watching your show. One time last week, I caught the show, and the person didn't show up, and you just responded to callers, and I think some of the topics that you bring up are very important. Although we both are at the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of politics, but I always support, don't laugh at me now, Melanie, don't laugh at me. I always support.
Yeah, you know I'm going to go in on your open, right? You know I am.
Yeah, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you, sister. I just want to say that what you do is a great service. And I always say, if you ever listen to me, I don't care if you're Republican, independent, Democrat, liberal, revolutionary, conservative, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or any other IST or ISM attached to it. As long as you are in the business of uplifting and enlightening our people, to whatever topics, because we're not a monolithic people. You know, we have many different concepts and many different thoughts and many different solutions how we should tackle some of these problems that we're going to mention this evening. So tell me, Ms. Collette, how you feel about that stat that I mentioned earlier a few minutes ago? Only 12% of Black men feel good about being a Black man in America, and 18% of Black women feel the same way.
I'm not surprised. Considering, you know, the narrative that in the media, that in our music, that's in everything in our environment. Says that we're victims. I shouldn't say everything, but there are a lot of things about our environment that feeds, in my mind, Black people the message that they're victims. And if you don't take a victor's mentality, instead of a victim mentality, that's what you have. You have people who don't, who will absolutely focus on that and not focus on the many vast opportunities that we have as America. Forget whether or not we're black. It's unfortunate that that's the case. But I truly feel that when people feel like they're victims, it will stop them from moving forward. And it is absolutely a design from it's by design. If you can have millionaire NFL players protesting as victims, then you've really messed with someone's head. Like, what other country in the world can you play a sport and become a millionaire as a black person? And yet they feel like they're victims. Your head has been totally screwed with, if that's how you feel, in my opinion. Like, how do you drive, jump in your Benz, leaving a football game, and feel oppressed?
Well, while driving in Rolls Royce.
The people of Iran are oppressed. NFL football players are not oppressed. Get over yourself.
Well, they say, I'm going to quote what Stephen A. said. Since we're on sport, now you're in my world. You stepped across the line. Now you're in my sports world. Stephen A. Smith said, where he lives, and he said he drives over the speed limit. When the cops pull him over for a few seconds, he fears the law enforcement. Because he's a black man living in a certain neighborhood, driving a certain automobile, probably a Rolls Royce or a Lamborghini. He drives this automobile, and he said he hates this term. If he was a sports celebrity, he said a couple of times he probably would have been harassed. So what they're saying, they don't care if you have $1 million. LeBron James, the greatest. They say when he finishes, he will be the greatest basketball player that ever played in the NBA. You know what he said to reporters about 3 months ago? It is hard to be a black man in America. This is after they spray painted his mansion in California with the word, the N-word. So,
okay.
Yes.
And that's all well and good. But what you're doing is you're perpetuating a victim mentality. And if you're that afraid, if you truly believe that white cops are running around the country hunting black men down, why are you ever speeding? That would be my question. Common sense would say you would never speed. If you feel like your life is in danger, if you feel like cops are on the road running around trying to kill black men, then why would you ever speed? That does not make any sense. Why are you ever breaking the law? But yet, time after time, what you find is brothers getting pulled over, millionaire or not, they'll have all their papers, they're not following instructions. So, we never take any responsibility on our own. Yes, are there times when the cops get out of line? But let's ask ourselves why. Why that is? How do we participate? And then whenever something goes down, we never, ever, ever take personal responsibility. And that is what drives me absolutely insane about, my own people. All they talk about is what the cop did. They don't talk about the fact that he asked you 55 times to put your hands up. He asked you 55 times to get out the car. He asked you 55 times to do this, that, and the other, and you didn't do it, which is your job. Could have saved your life. Why were you breaking the law? And that lack of respect for authority is never addressed in our community. You think you're a big man because you're going to talk back to the cop and end up with a cap in your behind. It makes no sense. But we don't take responsibility. We just view ourselves as victims. I live in an area that's like 2% minority. I sued. That's what you do in America when you have a problem.
You don't
cut up, You don't get messed up. You don't get yourself hurt. You live in America.
You live in America.
You sip.
Do you really think that the law enforcement system, the court system, from police to the courts, really, even if you had the money, do you really think they really support black folks when they come into their courts?
It's not their job to support black folks. Their job is to be fair.
Even if you got all the evidence, you got the good lawyer, you got the evidence, and you have your day in court, do you really think we're going to have justice? The justice system. You think the justice system is all the black? And when I say black man, I'm talking about the African Americans. I use black man as, you know.
Right.
You really think that the justice system has our back compared to other cultures in the United States?
It's not the justice system's job to have our back. We live in a reciprocal relationship with the law. We're to obey the law. If we break the law, if there's any question about us breaking the law, then the system has a responsibility to be fair. My essential problem with a lot of...
Okay, do you feel that the system...
stands up for selling crack, right? You know, everybody wants to talk about how unfair the system because the white boys who selling cocaine got a lot less time. But nobody wants to talk about the fact that you were selling poison to your own area, and then you want to scream about injustice.
And they're still doing time. And they're still doing time.
I could care less if you do more time. You were selling poison to your own people. I don't care if they put you under the jail and give you three times as much time as the white boy. I don't.
Okay, I agree with you on that point. But let's go back to my original question. Do you think that the justice system, to use your term, is fair to the black man in America? Fair. Don't matter if they support us or not, or have a... Do you think that justice system today, because... evidently, 58% of Americans feel it doesn't. Do you feel that the justice system is fair to black America?
I think by and large it is. I think for the most part that it is. And again,
in what way?
If you feel as though it's so unfair, keep your butt out of it. It's really that simple.
But sometimes it's in the middle of it.
You feel that strongly that we live in such an unjust system, then why are you having constant interaction with law enforcement?
Well, Eric Holder said that the ex-attorney general of the United States said that the justice system is unfair to African Americans. He said that he was attorney general. He was the top cop.
And guess what? You don't have to worry about it being unfair if you don't have contact with them. But the same people who are screaming about how unfair the system is, three, four, and five arrests. So, you know,
I don't know about that, Melody. I mean, that as let me tell you a story. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm going to tell you a little story. The first black police commissioner of New York City, all right, before he was sworn in, him and his wife went to one of those black tie formal dinners. And him and his wife was going home. And white police officers pulled him over, disrespected his wife by calling her the B word, call him the N-word, but his paper was straight. He told him to get the H out of here. If he comes back, he's a dead man. At that next morning, that roll call, because he got the badge numbers and everything. He's top cop now. The first black police commissioner. And their faces turned red. And the reason why I brought that story, he was on the right side of the law. He was the top law enforcer at the time in New York City, and he was harassed by law enforcement, by his own men.
I have a cop who was harassed by law enforcement, but been a force for 25 years. Same, very similar situation, and he handled it legally. That's what you do. You handle it legally. I'm not saying that there isn't race in America, but what I am suggesting is that the way you fight that is not by whining constantly and not by blaming them for the overall failure of the community. That is just what I said, it's victim mentality. When you count the number of interactions that people have with police, the comparison to the times that things go wrong, it is a minuscule amount. But unfortunately, that's not what they put in the media. That's not what they put on the news. That's not going to be helpful in controlling us. Why do you feel 70% of black Americans, they're not going to put all of the positive interactions people have with cops. I'm a 47-year-old woman. I've been around for a minute. I've had several interactions with cops. Only two have been very negative. One, I was driving in an Airbnb in a very nice neighborhood, and he came at me sideways. I wanted to leave with my life. I ignored it. You don't have to let some stuff go.
Well, I'm gonna tell you a similar story.
And he got an official reprimand.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you a similar story that happened to you about 2 months ago in the state of Georgia. This white lady was pulled over by a Georgia state trooper, and she had both hands on the steering wheel. And I guess the officer sensed that she was nervous and fearful. She said, "Oh, don't worry, I'm not going to shoot you. We only shoot niggas." And guess what happened to him? Nothing. So is that how the average, including black cops, is that the average thought process?
Why are you? Based on that one incident, who says that that's the thought process behind all cops? Who said that?
I said, of the average cop. I don't know. I'm asking. You know, a lot of brothers join the police force to try to change the system, but they are changed to believe in that blue wall because they don't want to. I grew up with two guys that both retired from the police force. So they said the reason why they became police officers were trying to change the system. But the blue wall is too thick, and your life would be in danger. So therefore, they had to go with the rank and file.
Okay, so let me ask you, what's the solution then, as a black person?
I feel, David Dinkins, the only black mayor of New York City, said, his solution was, which I agree wholeheartedly, that 90% of the police officers do not, 90% of the police officers that control certain communities do not come from those communities, do not live in those communities. And what he tried to implement was, one, community policing, two, government residency, called it, where police officers had to live in the community where they patrol, or at least in the city limits, because
his theory was
that I might know your father. I might know your uncle,
and
you out there selling drugs. You selling drugs on the corner and everything. I go step to your people because I know them. And a lot of these police don't know the culture, don't know the. They come in with the mentality of, I guess, being an overseer and everything instead of protecting and serving. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I had police officers and CEOs on my coaching staffs in my 27 years of coaching youth football in three different states. I had police officers volunteer on my staff. So this is not coming from me. This is coming from them. They even feel some kind of way.
What should the police's mentality be when they go into dangerous neighborhoods where people are raping, robbing, and pillaging on a regular basis? Should they go in and act like Mr. Rogers?
No, they can't.
Or should they?
They
go
can't.
In, or should they, exactly? Or should they go in like, if you mess with me, I'm gonna break you down, and it's gonna be a problem.
But they should go in and protect the community.
Somebody's protecting me. When you're protecting me, if I had a personal bodyguard and you're protecting me, I don't want you to be timid and let's talk things out. And no. If you're protecting me, I want you to come in like, don't start none, won't be none. And I have absolutely no problem with cops having that attitude because you know what? They got families too. They want to go home too. And why in God's name should they, you know, cater to criminals?
I'm not saying catering. I'm not saying catering. How about a phenomena that is starting up again, the stop and frisk. A stop and frisk is nothing but a professional term for racial profiling, where they can stop you at any time for probable cause and frisk you for no reason because you look the certain type, dress, wearing a sweatshirt, wearing Timberlands,
that's not how stop and frisk works.
Well, that's what stop and frisk became. I don't care what the definition.
Stop and frisk? You want to lower stop and frisk? Make it a waste of their time to stop and frisk. Let them have a series, a period of time, and never find anything. But as long as brothers are walking around carrying illegal weapons, then I have no problem with stopping and frisking.
But a lot of times they stop and frisk the wrong people.
Really?
I don't mind them stopping and frisking people they need to stop. And they know who the criminals. If you patrol a certain vicinity day in and day out, you know who the players are. But sometimes there's no way you should be stopping a 70-year-old man and frisking him. And tell him to take down his pants.
Because
I've seen that.
Isn't a 70-year-old drug dealer? You don't think? You don't think so? I think we know better. See,
There's no 70-year-old drug dealer. They too worried about the health. They get legal drugs now.
Oh, okay. I have no problem. Listen, I have no problem with enforcement of the law that doesn't violate anybody's rights. And listen, I don't know how you do at your job, but I don't have interactions that are going to be confrontational unnecessarily. I don't do work that's unnecessary. So I submit that police officers, like most people at their job, they're not going to confront somebody to frisk them unless they feel there's a reason to. Nobody on this planet does unnecessary work. So to me, to suggest, and not to mention being risk called a racist every time you do it. Who would sign up for that? And then you wonder why places.
You'd be surprised.
The murder rate, the murder rate is out of this world ever since that illegal, that whole buffoonery that went down with Freddie Gray. So.
Hello.
And I'm like, y'all.
Hello.
You are you still there?
Oh, I lost connection. Hello.
Oh. Hello. I'm still here.
Well, Melanie?
Yes.
Oh, I think my show was dropped. No, it's not dropped. The time. I'm still on the air. Hello, Melanie. Oh, let me try this.
Yep. I'm still here.
Hello?
Hello?
I guess you'll call back. Well, this was a good dialogue. I hope she called back. But it was a great dialogue. But you're hearing two point of views this evening and what have you. Carlton and Jay did not show up this evening. They usually show up. I guess he put on a performance tonight. And I don't know where Carlton is. He told me he'll be here tonight. But that's okay. So here she is. She's back. She's back.
I don't know what happened.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
No, I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me. Hello?
Melanie?
Yes? Hello?
Oh, got everything up. Everything sounds good. Hello?
Hello?
Well, you hear two different point of views of what is concerning our communities, and evidently, she feels that we got to take more responsibilities for our behavior. What's this show? We got to start taking more responsibilities for our behavior. If we don't want the cops in our neighborhood, man, we got to really start. Here we go. Melanie's there. Oh, let me see some.
Can you hear me? Hello? 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 Hello?
I don't know if I end everything. I think that's on her end.
Hello?
You know, 609 South Jersey, you know, South Jersey still living behind the times and whatnot. They need to improve the communication system. There are times that we do take a victimization mentality. That has to be stopped, and again, we have to start addressing our own behaviors, what we do in our communities, selling drugs on the corner, killing each other for over nothing. Nothing. The Republican cell phone strikes again. We really have to see, and we have solutions. We have solutions to housing. We have solutions to livable wages. We have a solution to the educational system. But however, we depend on the government to do too much for us. I mean, why Black Lives Matter is begging these city officials to deal with cops? These cops are not going to change their thinking towards us. I had an article last week I did not save in Chicago. It's just a new form of stop and frisk. Yeah, the Chicago got the number one murder rate in the country, black on black. Yeah, that's true. But they talk about being proactive. Again, they're just going to stop people that they know are criminals, or everybody be suspect to participate in criminal activities. Again, I mean, that's like, I mean, I look like somebody that's spent 30 years in prison, but you going to stop me on the way I look? Melanie? Melanie,
yes,
she can hear me, but I can't hear her. And as far as
can you hear me?
Or
can
I don't
you hear
know.
Me?
She know I'm only teasing, but
can you hear me?
The living wages, folks. We got to start doing our own thing. We got to start being entrepreneurs, start investing right, selling products, purchasing products from each other. We all have a skill, but we got to start privatizing. They like the government like to use that word, privatizing. Let's start privatizing. Yes. I mean, I'm trying to privatize and I'm trying to do business with black entrepreneurs, but black entrepreneurs don't want to do business with me. I guess they want to see my longevity. When is the right time for you guys to start doing business with me? But that's okay. We'll see in 2018. Feeling safe in your neighborhoods. I totally agree. And you know what? Feeling unsafe in your neighborhood is stressful. It's very stressful. You're hearing gunshots every night. Guys hanging out, shooting CeeLo, drinking Hennessy, smoking blunts, and everything all night long. Not getting up to go to work in the morning to take care of their families. That's unsafe. Especially for guys like me that come home at 11 o'clock at night and everything. And you don't want to see a whole bunch of guys on the stoop, young men on the stoop, drinking Hennessy, smoking, and playing CeeLo. Yo, go home. Go home to your woman or your wife or your children or wherever you lay your hat at your head. So, yes, I agree. I agree. We do take the victimization quick, fast, and hurry. But we don't want to look at our own behaviors. Cops are not killing us like this. Yeah, they're killing us, but they're not killing us where they have close to 400 homicides. 400 homicides. Number one in America, black on black. And the reason for shooting each other is so over $5, $10. Why are you going to lose your life over $5 or $10? I don't understand that. Yes, 70% of African Americans are worried about their future. You better be. Melanie going to try. And everything. So, I'm just saying, folks. All right, here we go. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? I know you hear me, but I can't hear you.
Oh, that's bizarre.
I still can't hear you. So, I guess, oh, well. Housing, again, the housing issue. If we take care of our neighborhoods, it, you know, when I'm traveling and everything, I can tell when I'm in a black neighborhood. Just by the way we keep it up. If we just take care of environmentally take care of our neighborhoods, physically take care of our neighborhoods, just maybe it will be transformed emotionally and mentally. You know, I feel that that's the reason why gentrification has been so successful in New York City, D.C., and other places. I don't think Baltimore is experiencing gentrification yet, or they might be at the beginning stages, because of our behavior. Because of our behavior. So therefore, we just got really, in 2018, we got to really start addressing these issues ourselves. But first, we got to check our own behavior. You know, I know the streets may look fun, but it's not fun and it's not safe. Not when you're trying to raise a family by yourself. And you send your young man to high school and he got worried about, you got worried about if he going to join a gang or not. I should be worrying about if he going to get A's or B's on his report card. I should be worrying about if he going to try out for a team, what extracurricular activity going to participate. I should be about him hooking up with some girl. Not is he going to come home tonight alive in one piece. You know, you at work and you got a 15, 16-year-old kid, male guy, and you got to worry about if he going to come home alive. Who is he hanging with? Because, you know, we all have friends with character that might be questionable. Hell, we got family members that got character that might be questionable. Yeah, we should have to be worried about that. But that's okay. Next week, I'm going to have a very special person on the air. And it's going to be fun to have spoke to her in about 8 years. In about 3 years. And this woman is a very intelligent woman. But I'm sorry my other two guests didn't come on. So now I'm going to end my show. And I'll see you next week.
Hold it now. Hold it now!